Father, just thank you for this day, for your Sabbath, for a time of rest, for a time of coming together. Baruch HaKadosh, for a time of you coming and leading us, guiding us, directing us, teaching us, convicting us that we may change from glory to glory, that we may be that light set on the hill, the city that cannot be hid, that they may see our good works, they may glorify our Father in heaven, that you, Yeshua HaMashiach, may be lifted up, that you may draw all men into yourself. Father, that we could truly see thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. As we open your word, may it be living and powerful, may it divide asunder, may it separate from us that should not be. May we hide in our heart that we might not sin against thee. May we have wisdom for these days ahead. May we truly hear and obey. Amen. We are in Deuteronomy 26 today. All the more important to continue to learn, to prepare, as Brother West was saying earlier, to come out of her, as we see the leaders continue to make foolish decisions, as we have some cases of before the Supreme Court now again that can fundamentally change our country even more. On sometimes it looks hopeful. They struck down the OSHA mandate for the vaccine, and at the same time it looks doubtful because they said, oh, the healthcare workers take federal money, so they have to have it. Well, just about everybody takes federal money one way or the other in the end when you get down to it. So, how far is that going to go? Well, every taxpayer, although it's our money when you send it to the IRS, it's now federal money. That's FICA, federal. So if they want to begin to parse definitions, which they are, you can parse definitions to make it mean what you want to. As we've heard presidents do in the past, it depends upon what is. We have Second Amendment cases that are being heard before the court. We have freedom of speech cases. We have new departments being implemented in the government for domestic terrorists. We have the January 6th investigation going on, and the policeman who shot an unarmed woman is found innocent, and people who walked into a building have been in jail for months. And we call that the justice system. If we do not see that we're living in a time when they call good evil and evil good, when an experimental drug is called a vaccine, though it has none of the disease in it, and that's supposed to be the definition of a vaccine, and it's mandated, but a drug like ivermectin that was approved for human use in 1987 that the discoverers and makers of it were given a Nobel Peace Prize in 2015 that was listed as one of the three most important drugs ever discovered for the good of humankind when they were given the Nobel Peace Prize, along with penicillin and aspirin. Ivermectin was listed with those three as most fundamentally changing medicine, but all of a sudden it's no good anymore. You know, they didn't say one was for human use. They said be careful taking drugs that are for animal use. If you order in the mail, it's confiscated. If you order it from overseas. And again, it's things show up because he probably didn't get it from a doctor from a prescription. It's a wonder of where our country has gone to, where our country has been. My wife was talking this week. She says, it's just so in your face. And I said, honey, when they took prayer and the Bible out of school in the 40s, how much more in your face could it be? And we did nothing. Why do we think it's going to be any different this time? I hope people are waking up. I hope that people will see, but I don't have much hope, personally, that that's going to happen. It hasn't happened for the last 50, 60, 80 years. Why do I think it'll happen now? My hope? Vaccine hurries up and kills off a lot of the dummies. Begin to export some of them instead of import. Deuteronomy 26. It shall be when you come into the land which Yah your Elohim has given you as an inheritance, and you possess it and dwell in it, that you shall take some of the first of all the fruits of your soil which you bring from your land which Yah your Elohim has given you, and you shall put it in a basket. And go to the place where Yah your Elohim chooses to make his name dwell there, and you shall come to the one who is priest in those days and say to him, I shall declare therefore today to you, today to Yah your Elohim, that I have come to the land which Yah swore to our fathers to give us. And the priest shall take the basket from your hand and place it before the slaughter place of Yah your Elohim. And you shall answer and say before Yah your Elohim, my father was a perishing Aramean, and he went down to Mitzrayim, a sojourn there with few men, and there he became a nation, great, mighty, and numerous. But the Mitzrites did evil to us and afflicted us and imposed hard labor on us. Then we cried out to Yah, Elohim of our fathers, and Yah heard our voice and saw our affliction and our toil and our oppression. And Yah brought us out of Mitzrayim with a strong hand and with an outstretched arm, with great fear and signs and wonders. And he brought us to this place and has given us this land, a land flowing with milk and honey. And now, see, I have brought the first fruits of the land, which you, O Yah, have given me. Then you shall place it before Yah your Elohim and bow down before Yah your Elohim and shall rejoice in all the good which Yah your Elohim has given you. And your house, you and the Levite and the stranger who is among you, when you have completed tithing all the tithes of your increase in the third year, which is the year of tithing, and have given it to the Levite, to the stranger, to the fatherless, to the widow, they have eaten within your gates and have been satisfied, then you shall say before Yah your Elohim, I have put away the set apart portion from my house, and also have given it to the Levite, to the stranger, to the fatherless, to the widow, according to all your command that you have commanded me. I have not transgressed your commands, nor have I forgotten. I have not eaten any of it when in mourning, nor have I removed any of it for any unclean use, nor given any of it for the dead. I have obeyed the voice of Yah my Elohim. I have done according to all that you have commanded me. Look from your set-apart dwelling place from the heavens and bless your people Israel and the land which you have given us, as you swore to our fathers, a land flowing with milk and honey. Today, Yah, your Elohim is commanding you to do these laws and write rulings, and you shall guard to do them with all your heart and with all your being. You were asking about first fruits the other day. Here's where they get first fruits from. Here's one of the places first fruits is mentioned. You remember when you first planted a tree, you couldn't eat anything off of it the first year? You let it go. The second year, you didn't gather. The third year, you gave it away. You let the strangers and the others eat it. And so, it's saying that you, again, just obeyed.
That doesn't say that you're
supposed to. No. No, remember again. Yeah, you put scripture, always scripture compare with other scripture, because it's usually not all written in one spot. Most times they've given a beginning one over here, and then they remind you with little pieces of it or further instructions further on. And if you read only one portion and don't read all the portions together, yeah, you can come up with people go, oh, you got to collect that for 3 years.
Well, is it wrong to give before?
No, you can always give any and everything you want. Mm-hmm. And we get a little more hung up over whether, is it a tithe, is it an offering, is it, what does it matter if you're obeying what God puts in your heart? Now, I think it does matter, because some people go, oh, I'll just give what God lays on my heart to give. Well, he's already laid on your heart a lot of what to give, because he's told you in his word. Well, if I have a source of income coming in every month, okay, then I already know how much I'm getting off of that. Some will say, well, my Social Security is what I've paid. It's my money anyway. I'm not going to really argue with you one way or the other. They did hold money out of your check, and I doubt if you're going to get it all back. I personally, when I was working out in the workforce for other people, even though the government held out money, I gave off of my gross because I felt I wanted God to have what was first before anybody else took any money. I didn't want anyone else to go before God, so I couldn't help that they took it out of my check before I got it, but I gave off of the total gross amount. That's what I felt I should do. Well, yeah, I'm getting to there. So that was me. Out of that, they held out taxes. They held out Social Security, they held out Medicaid, Medicare, all of those taxed. Supposedly when I retire, I get that portion back. So, again, whether you want to argue your Social Security's increase or your taxes, your money, I personally think, again, God is continuing to provide for me. I'm going to continue to give everything I have. And when I got my tax return back at the end of the year, it depends, because I've always got dependent credits, child tax credits, other things. I personally figure I know how to spend the money better than the government. I took every tax break they would give me. If I got back more than I gave, I just thought that was less for them to be stupid with. So I just always taken every tax credit they've given me. And so I have always, most times, given off of what I got back as well. Yeah. Let's say, I don't care what you call it. I just have always wanted to give. Figured young, you couldn't outgive God. I wanted to always err myself on the side of caution and give what God wanted. Yeah, when you get your letter, I'll be making them up this week, that says you gave $5 million last year, you won't see on there any difference between whether it says tithe, offering, love offering, designated, nothing. I will give an amount of what you gave, and that's what gets turned in. I don't even actually turn them in because we're a church and don't have to, but that's what you can give. Because to the church, it doesn't matter. You gave money to the church, and under the IRS, money to a church is deductible. We are not a 501c3, nor do we have to be a 501c3, nor will we ever be a 501c3. And that's a lie from the IRS saying that you need to be a 501c3 to be deductible. You do not. And because I'm not a 501c3, I don't have to file federal taxes as the church, because we're a church. Yeah, a lot of times in standard form, you get more deduction than going into your deductions. You are now a tax-free, or not a tax-free, a non-profit, yes, corporation. And now you are bound by the laws and the actions of a 501c3 because you've agreed to them. I can stand up here and say stupid stuff all the time, and they can't really fuss because I'm not a 501c3. They can't take away our 501c3 status because we don't have one. Federalis. That was what the Mexicans called them, but they were basically the police who came around and picked you up, and that's really what they're getting. You got to go back to the old Waylon and Willie song. All the federalists say we could have had them anyway. Oh, come on! You've heard Pancho Villa? Yes, you have. You just don't remember. Yep. Well, Scripture says that they'll turn it in. And you're going, oh, no, that's not so. Look, they already had this. Goodness, this got to have been 7-8 years ago that they were going to put the DHS booths in Walmart, and then there was enough backlash that they stopped so that you could see something, say something at Walmart. DHS kiosk, Department of Homeland Security, where you could go turn in, give your tips directed to a DHS employee in all the Walmart. Yeah, I have a shirt that says Shema Israel, but it's in the Hebrew letters, and yeah, they have no idea. But everybody knows it means something. They just, Well, no, I mean, but it means something. Yeah. I get a lot of these. And then we're going to say, all of it, if you were here, is so that the land would be blessed. And when you get to, again, planting a fruit tree and not eating off of it for the first several years, they have found, wow, amazing, that is very agriculturally sound. Because a fig tree will put out a fig for what purpose? Reproduce, not for you to enjoy figs. And when you pick a fig off of a fig tree, what does it think? I gotta make another fig. They pick my reproduction. And so it puts all its energy into making another fig. If it puts all its energy into making another fig, it's not putting energy into making roots. First few years, if you don't pick the figs, it puts most of its energy into making roots. A tree with a better root system over the long haul will give you way more fruit. And so doing it Yah's way, you will have a stronger, much more productive tree, regardless if it's a fig tree or another kind, that will produce longer, stand up to storms longer, and bear better crops than if you would have picked it for the first 3 years. You'll never come out with as much fruit. Because they go deeper. They're able to go deeper. And so again, you don't have to know the agricultural science behind it. All you have to do is obey what God has said, and we get to reap the benefits. As we study those things, though, it becomes apparent many times why God says the things he does, because it literally makes good sense. Made a year, yeah.
Anyway, so you need to wait 3 years or whatever still. And then if it's a made a year, then you wait 4.
Well, if it happens to fall on, but literally, people planned and planted around the Shemitah and the Jubilee year. A lot of the, if you'll read through other places, if I go to lease land from Wesley, the value of the land is off of the Jubilee year. If I'm going to lease things, most of the times, because on a Jubilee year, the land goes back regardless. So their whole economic system and value of things was tied into the Jubilee and the Shemitah. Ours is not. And so we have much more difficulty remembering following it. Well, it's just like if you will look and see, it's amazing. Gas goes up right before spring break, right at the beginning of the summer for summer travel, or right before the holiday travel seasons. Gas spikes. oil production is always harder. Yeah, I wonder why. Coats are a lot cheaper in April than they are in October. You know, the law of supply and demand, or the law of, again, what is needed at that moment, the tyranny of the moment, drives prices. And when something's not in much demand or need, it goes down. If you realize those things, you can take advantage of it. Walmart discounted all of their heavy coats a couple years ago to $5. I bought 4 or 5 of them, waited, listed them this fall for $40-$50, and sold them all. I realized what was coming, and I didn't mind warehousing them, and Walmart didn't want to warehouse them. I didn't buy 5,000, 500,000 of them, so I didn't have to warehouse near as much. So I understand Walmart's thing, and I appreciate them. I took advantage of that. Yah is basically telling us to do the same thing so that when those times come, we're already prepared. We already have stored up. We already have done. If we had been doing the Shemitah year after year, we would already be laying aside and looking forward to. We'd been doing Sukkot year after year, we would already know how to cook outside, live outside, stay outside. Things that we send our children to Boy Scout, Girl Scouts now to try to learn basic skills, they all had, because they did it year after year. They already knew how to live without leaven because of unleavened bread. So if they had to do something else out of the ordinary, they could. So that not only are the feasts spiritual, they literally are preparations for hard times. Learning how to do without, learning how to substitute, learning what can I do to get by, because this isn't normal. I normally do, what are we going to do now? How do we make this taste edible? How do we make this go? And then again, like I said, most of the agricultural and even the ritualistic purity laws are just good hygiene, good ways of staying healthy, stuff we knew already or we didn't know and that now they tell you. You know, most all the time, if you're ritually impure, what do you have to do before you came back to camp? You had to bathe yourself. What's the best way that they say to keep down disease? Wash your hands all the time. Make sure your clothes are clean. Take care of yourself. They didn't have to prepare.
Lunch part of the sheet.
Well, the first ones were literally just ice box. And they set ice up at the top, and the ice melted up top and drained down, and it kept things cooler. And we're blessed, and blessed by, right now we're not seeing a lot of shortages in Mississippi. You look on some of the social media places, and in some places, I mean, their stores are already stripped.
Except one thing, I've been trying to get some for 2 weeks now, and every time they've got them, they'll be in
Lamar the next place. Oh, I'm not saying that we don't have shortages. Stuff we do, it's just not shortages, people, things that are people are replacing every day, but it's getting more and more that way. But in some places it's already down to their everyday stuff. We don't have our stores putting up cardboard cutouts yet. Expect it to continue. He made a couple. One was in Atlanta. One was in, where was the other one? Ohio or somewhere. I think I don't recall. You have today caused Yah to proclaim to be your Elohim and to walk in his ways and guard his laws and his commands and his right rulings and obey his voice. Yah has caused you to proclaim today to be his people, a treasured possession, as he has spoken to you and to guard all his commands, so as to set you high above all nations, which he has made for a praise, for a name, for esteem, and for you to be a set-apart people to Yah, your Elohim, as he has spoken. Again, there's the purpose for the law. He wants it for our good. And he wants it for our good so that we'll be blessed, set apart, esteemed among all nations. For what purpose? It doesn't say it here, but other places. So they will see and they will go, ah, their God must be the one true God. Who else has such right rulings? Who else has a God that talks to them face to face? Who else is blessed like that is?
That's what
it's
talking about, the light on the hill.
The light on the hill that can't be hid. Moshe, with the elders of Israel, commanded the people, saying, guard all the commands which I am commanding you today. It shall be on the day when you pass over the Jordan into the land which Yah your Elohim has given you, that you shall set up for yourself large stones, plaster them with plaster, and write on them all the words of this Torah when you have passed over, so that you go into the land which Yah your Elohim has given you, a land flowing with milk and honey, as Yah Elohim of your fathers has spoken to you. And it shall be when you have passed over the Jordan at the Mount Ebal, that on Mount Ebal you shall set up these stones, which I command you today, and you shall plaster them with plaster. Build a slaughter place to Yah your Elohim there, a slaughter place of stones. Do not use an iron tool on them. Build the slaughter place of Yah your Elohim with complete stones, and you shall offer ascending offerings on it to Yah your Elohim, and shall slaughter peace offerings and eat there, and rejoice before Yah your Elohim. You shall write all the words of the Torah on these stones, plainly and well. And Moshe and the priests, the Levites, spoke to all Israel, saying, Be silent and hear, O Israel. This day you have become the people of Yah your Elohim. You shall obey the voice of Yah your Elohim and do his commands and his laws, which I command you today. Moshe commanded the people on that day, saying, these are to stand on Mount Gerizim to bless the people when you have passed over the Jordan. Shimon and Levi and Yehuda and Issachar and Yosef and Benjamin. These are to stand on Mount Ebal to curse Reuben, Gad, and Asher, and Zebulun, Dan, and Naphtali. The Levites shall speak with a loud voice and say to all the men of Israel, cursed is the man who makes a carved or molded image, an abomination to Yah, the work of the hands of the craftsman, and sets it up in secret. And all the people shall answer and say, Amen. Cursed is the man who makes light of his father or his mother. And all the people say, Amen. Cursed is the man who moves his neighbor's boundary. The people shall say, Amen. Cursed is he who misleads the blind in the way. And all the people shall say, Amen. Cursed is he who twists the right ruling of the stranger, the fatherless, and the widow. And all the people say, Amen. Cursed is he who lies with his father's wife because he has uncovered his father's bed. And all the people shall say, Amen. Cursed is he who lies with any beast. And all the people shall say, Amen. Cursed is he who lies with his sister, the daughter of his father, or the daughter of his mother. And all the people shall say, Amen. Cursed is he who lies with his mother-in-law, and all the people shall say, Amen. Cursed is he who strikes his neighbor secretly, and all the people shall say, Amen. Cursed is he who takes a bribe to strike an innocent being, and all the people shall say, Amen. Cursed is he who does not establish the words of this Torah, and all the people shall say, Amen. Cursed is he who makes light of his father and his mother. Those who haven't honored their mother and father. Those who don't obey their commands. Who takes what they say and goes, I really need to listen to that. Makes light of means, A, I'm making fun of them, but it's because I don't think, oh, those old people, they don't know nothing. They need to get with the times. They just don't understand. And again, now, what was mom and daddy's job? Train them up in the way they should go, speak to them of the Torah when they got up, when they went. So if they were making fun of mom and daddy, what were they really making fun of? The Torah. That's what they were being trained with. And you hear a lot of people say that today. Well, I know the Bible says homosexuality is an abomination, but Jesus loves everybody. Okay. Jesus may have loved everybody, but he told the Pharisees, you're a pit of vipers. You're a brood of vipers. He may love everybody, but he told them, you go out and get a disciple, and by the end of it, you made him twice the child of hell that you are. Maybe he had a different definition of love. He clarified it when he said, in that day, they'll stand before the king, and he'll say, depart from me, I never knew you. He didn't say, oh, don't worry about it, I love you. Now, homosexuality is not the only abomination in the scripture. Offering your children Molech is an abomination. Lying lips, those who would seek to do evil. Those who call evil good and good evil. There are a number of abominations. And it doesn't matter which you do, but when we begin to take what is abominable to Yah and say, oh, that's fine with me, you're not following him. You're not on the same page. I don't believe he goes, oh, well, they just, we have a little difference of opinion. I believe you are now worshiping a different God. You're saying the God that says this is okay, whether that's the God of science, the God of culture, the God of my mind, the God of, well, my friend Sally is like that, my daughter-in-law, my son's best friend. Knows better than the God that wrote the scripture that says it's an abomination. I would say just as Joshua did, choose this day who you'll serve. Man can't serve two masters. He'll either love one and hate the other, listen to one and not to the other. And so when I see God say do, and I see someone else says do not, or I see God say do not, and something else says do, I have an option. Be careful, because your options matter a lot. Isaiah 60. You do realize options are a matter of faith. I choose what I have faith in. If I have faith that that vehicle is going to get me where I need to go, I get in it and go. The other week, you didn't have much faith in your vehicle, so you called Gary. Said, Gary, I need your vehicle. You act upon your faith. So it's not just, well, that's what I decide. Well, you decided that because of your faith. Now, like Brother Wesley said, if that's been sitting out for 6 days, your faith may not do you any good. It may make you sick as a dog, whether you had faith or not. But it's sure going to come out the other end, ain't it? Faith is only as good as what you have faith in. I've had faith before when I've sat down on some chairs, and I have found that my faith was ill-placed as it collapsed underneath me. I've had faith in some people that when they were getting ready to throw that to me, they could make it to me. And my faith was ill-placed as what they were chunking through and cracked right at my feet. And others I've not had faith in, and they may have been able to throw it well, but I'm like, no, I'll walk over there and pick my phone up. No, just let it be there. And so people do not just make a decision and go, oh, but that has nothing to do with my faith. It has everything to do with your faith. Because that really is your faith. I can say, oh, I have faith. Move that mountain. The reason it don't move is because you don't have faith. Because if you did, Scripture says it would move. People say a lot of things, but if you look at what they do, you'll see their faith. If you listen to what they say, out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaketh. The rest is political correctness, niceties, fakeness. What I wish I believed, and I really don't, because if you wish you believe it, all you have to do is quit wishing and believe it. I've had people tell us, well, I wish I had the faith y'all had. No, you don't. You'd have it. I didn't pick it up on sale at the store, and it was the last one in stock. I realize who God is and decide he knows more than me. Let's do it that way. It's pretty much that simple. And when I err from that, he is lovingly enough to sometimes let me have at least some of the consequences. So I go, oh, yeah. You know how to learn to use a hammer real well? You whack your thumb once or twice. You learn a whole lot better how to use that hammer. You can read a lot about it. You can study how to use a hammer. You can study about all the angles. You can study about force and all that. Pick the hammer up and start nailing nails. And eventually, most of the time, you're going to get sloppy and think, oh, yeah, I got the hang of this. I've been doing this for a wham! Ooh! And then you'll learn better how to use that hammer. It's better to learn how to use a hammer than to start off how to use a gun. Because the hammer, I just whack my nail. When I have no sense with the gun, somebody's dead. In the same way, it is better to train, to learn, to follow, even if I don't fully understand even the lesser things of the law, that when I mess up on those, I go, ow, that kind of hurt. Rather than when it comes to something that's life or death, and I've had no training, no experience, all of a sudden somebody ends up dead. That's all faith is. That's why he says, if you're faithful with the little, I will make you ruler over much. Why? Because you've had your senses trained. It's not rocket science. It's not mysticism. Whoa. You don't have to go up on top of the mountain and sit with the guru man. You may have to meditate on my word. You may have to hide it in your heart. You may have to study to show yourself approved. But that's doable. That takes you. Just like learning to use a hammer. It takes picking it up and whanging something. Over and over and over and over again. Anything is learned by doing. It's good to study, but eventually you got to get out there and apply it, do it. So when we come to things we don't understand, I say, what scripture say? Let me do that to the best I can with the understanding I have. And hallelujah, I have a Father who loves me. Then when I go, look at my picture. Oh, that's lovely. It's a horse. Oh, yes, I see that. It's a horse. Except for the Father already knows our heart. But as I get older, he goes, no, that's not a horse. A horse doesn't have a long trunk. That's an elephant. If you're trying to make a horse, the way it is with scripture, that's the way it is with his right rulings, his commands. And then if we had problems, he had the elders, he had the Levites, he had those who were to help when we couldn't figure out on our own. Isaiah 60, arise, shine, for your light has come, and the steam of Yah has risen upon you. For look, darkness covers the earth and thick darkness the peoples, but Yah arises over you and his esteem is seen upon you. The nations shall come to your light and the sovereigns to the brightness of your rising. Lift up your eyes all around and see all of them have gathered. They have come to you, your sons from afar, and your daughters are supported on the side. Then you shall see and be bright, and your heart shall throb and swell, for the wealth of the sea is turned to you. The riches of the nations come to you. A stream of camels cover the land, and the dromedaries of Midian and Ephah, all of those from Sheba come, bearing gold and incense and proclaiming the praises of Yah. All the flocks of Kedar gather to you. The rams of Nebooth serve you. They come up for acceptance on my slaughter place, and I establish my esteemed house. I embellish my esteemed house. Who are these who fly like a cloud and like doves to their windows? Because the coastlands wait for me, and the ships of Tarshish first, to bring your sons from afar, their silver and their gold with them, to the name of Yah your Elohim, and to the set apart one of Israel, because he has adorned you. The sons of foreigners shall build your walls, and their sovereign shall serve you. For in my wrath I have stricken you, but in my delight I shall have compassion on you. Your gates shall be open continually, for they are not shut day or night, to bring you the wealth of the nations and their sovereigns in procession. For the nations and the reign that do not serve you shall perish, and those nations shall be utterly laid waste. The steam of Lebanon shall come to you, cypress, pine, and the box tree together, to embellish the place of my set-apart place, and I shall make the place of my feet esteemed. The sons of those who afflicted you come bowing to you. And all who have despised you shall bow themselves at the soles of your feet. They shall call you City of Yah, Zion of the set-apart one of Israel. Instead of you being forsaken and hated so that no one passes through you, I shall make you an everlasting excellence of joy of many generations. You shall suck the milk of the nations and shall suckle the breast of sovereigns. You should know that I, Yah, your Savior, your Redeemer, am the Mighty One of Yaakov. Instead of bronze, I bring gold. Instead of iron, I bring silver. Bronze instead of wood, and iron instead of stones. I shall make your officers peace and your magistrates righteousness. Violence will no longer be heard in your land. Neither wasting nor ruin within your borders. You shall call your walls deliverance and your gates praise. No longer is the sun your light by day, nor does the moon give light to you for brightness, but Yah shall be to you an everlasting light, and your Elohim your comeliness. No longer does your sun go down, nor the moon withdraw itself, for Yah shall be your everlasting light, and the days of your mourning shall be ended, and your people, all of them righteous, shall inherit the earth forever, a branch of my planting, a work of my hands to be adorned. The little shall become a thousand, and the small one a strong nation. I, Yah, shall hasten it in its time. Again, we are promised that if we do his ways, we cannot outbless him. But many times we read promises like that and we go, oh, Lord, when are you going to bring that about? He's already told us. When's he going to bring that about? Well, when is its time? No. He said, if my people who are called by my name shall humble themselves and pray and repent, turn from their wicked ways, then I'll hear from heaven and heal them. New Testament said, Messiah seated at the right hand of the Father till all his enemies are made his footstool. We say, where the feet of our souls shall tread, we shall have dominion. What does having dominion mean? Ruling over. Ruling over how? Same way Messiah ruled over, because we're doing the will of my Father who sent me. It all goes back to the same. When I begin to have faith that what Yah says is the best, and because of my faith that Messiah has purchased me, that I have been bought with a price, that I'm no longer my own, that is no longer I that live, but Christ that lives through me, that I'm a new creation, that the old has passed away and all things have become new, then I began to live new, walk new, act new, do new. And when I began to realize he is the firstborn among many brethren, and began to look more like Messiah, Christ in me who strengthens me, I can do all things. Before long, we are that light set on the hill. Not to be saved, not to earn, but because of what he's done, because I now realize his ways are best, he really loves, then I can trust and obey. When we begin to do that, then we will see the end. Revelations 21. What an end it will be. Verse 9. One of the seven messengers who held the seven bowls filled with the seven last plagues came to me and spake with me, saying, come, I will show you the bride, the Lamb's wife. And he carried me away to the Spirit, in the Spirit, to a great and high mountain, and showed me the great city, the set apart Jerusalem, descending out of the heavens from Elohim, having the steam of Elohim. And her light was like a most precious stone, like a jasper stone, clear as crystal, having a great and high wall, having 12 gates, and the 12 gates messengers, and the names written on them, which are those of the 12 tribes of the children of Israel. Three gates on the east, three gates on the north, three gates on the south, three gates on the west. Now, what were the names of the gates into Jerusalem? Names of the 12 tribes of the sons of Israel. Which one of those is Jesus? Which one of those is Yeshua? Which one of those is Messiah HaMashiach? No, that's Judah. Yes, he's of the tribe of Judah, but which one of those has his name on it? So when you stand at the pearly gates, and St. Peter's there, and he asks you which gate you're going to come in through, and you tell him Jesus, you know which gate he's going to open? What's that? No, like you. Oh. You saying that Jesus isn't getting me to heaven? Well, first of all, this isn't heaven. This is New Jerusalem coming down out of heaven. And second, Paul said, unless you be grafted in, you have no place in the kingdom. Yes, all are saved because of Messiah, even these 12. But Yah has always had a people, a nation, a plan, a man. And as far as I can tell, there's no other gates into heaven except for these gates. And so when they say, oh, well, the law is just for the Jews, well, first of all, they don't mean that because Jews are just Judah. Or some may argue Judah and part of Benjamin and part of Levi. But still, they mean it's for Israel. Well, it looks like the New Jerusalem's for Israel, too, because that's one of the 12 gates. So I'm assuming if Torah was for Israel, and if the high priest bore the 12 stones, same as you see here, on his breastplate into the Holy of Holies, and you get into the New Jerusalem the same way, maybe he's trying to tell us something. Since even Messiah was the Word, maybe he's trying to give us a clue. In the wall of the city had 12 foundations. On them were the names of the 12 emissaries of the Lamb. You realize they were not the gates. What does the wall do? Keeps things out, protects. Yes, the New Testament is a foundation or taught us, teach us, but it was not the entrance way. He who spoke with me had a golden measure rod to measure the city and its gates and its wall. And the city lies four-cornered, and the length of it is great as its breadth. He measured the city with the rod, 12,000 stadia. The length and the breadth and the height of it are equal. Who had a cheat sheet? What's 12,000 stadia? Yeah, about 1,400 miles. What's 1,400 miles, says 1377? If you'll look down at D, this appendix says approximately 1,377 miles. What's 1,400 miles? About right. 1,400 miles would be from Houston, Texas, up to the border of Canada. Literally, it'd be that wide. The breadth of it would fit between the Rocky Mountains and the Appalachian Mountains with about 300 miles on each side of it. Pretty much, New Jerusalem will take up the entire heartland of America if it was going to sit down here. From border to border, north and south, and fit nicely right between the mountain ranges, east and west. Yeah, I'm going to say, when it sits down on Israel, it's going to be a whole lot larger than Israel. And it's not only 1,500 miles long and wide, it's 1,500 miles tall. Could be a cube, could be a pyramid. Pyramids are just as tall. Are all the same, and they said it had four corners. So some have theorized it's going to be more pyramidal. What? Yeah, Bush used it back during the second inauguration. Say, Bush used it during his second State of the Union. They said, we going over there to Egypt to them pyramidal people? Pretty tall. I mean, the Earth's atmosphere goes up a couple hundred miles. This goes up 1,400 miles. Obviously, we'll either be changed, different, or we won't be going up to the upper reaches of Jerusalem. But it's all right because it's right there on the streets we'll read that the life flows from. Yeah, there'll be nothing.
And they go up 300 feet, 400, 500
No, you won't even be able to. Well, now that's a good question. A very good question. I'm not sure. In the Hebrew roots, a lot of people like trying to figure out what tribe they're from. Be blessed. If you know what tribe you're from, that's okay. When a stranger came into the promised land, do you know what tribe he was from? Whatever one he settled in. Are you living in any of the tribal lands at the moment? Me neither. So I personally don't know right now. But I do know that those who are promised to obey, what does it say he will give them in the end days? All right, and what will be on the bottom of the white rock? A name. I'm assuming he's going to tell me where I'm supposed to go in. That's just my assumption. That when I read the white rock, if I'm worthy, if I have made it, that he'll let me know. So I'm not overly concerned. I'm not saying if you know, hallelujah. But I don't know that I have to know at this moment. It hasn't been revealed to me. I figure it'd be on the bottom of that white rock because he's going to tell me where to get in. If not, when I go to one, they go, I'm going to try the other and the other and the other. And eventually, one of them says, come on in. Although it's going to be a dang long walk from gate to gate to gate. So I'd much rather just read that rock. I hope it gives me a big clue. Yeah. Well, more than that, it's four-sided at 1,400. That's right at 1,500. You're talking about almost 6,000 miles walking around it. Yeah. Hey, I don't think you can be able to climb over. So. That's what I'm saying. So I hope there's a bus or train or something running between gates. There you go. He measured his wall 144 forearms according to the measure of a man, that is, of a messenger. And the structure of his wall was jasper, and the city was clean gold like clear glass, and the foundations of the wall of the city were adorned with all kinds of precious stones. The first foundation, jasper, the second, sapphire, the third, agate, the fourth, emerald, the fifth, sardis, the sixth, ruby, the seventh, chrysolith, the eighth, beryl, the ninth, topaz, the tenth, chrysopheth, the 11th, jacinth, and the 12th, amethyst. If you go back and look at the 12 stones upon the breastplate, these have slightly different names. Some of them have the exact same names. I believe most of them that have different names, if you read the etymology of the stones, these were written in Greek. The others are written in Hebrew, although I don't doubt that somewhere these are written in Hebrew. I personally believe these are the same stones. And that, again, it is a tie-in to Messiah, to the breastplate, to what was set apart. Yeah. The 12 gates were 12 pearls. Each one, the gates was a single pearl. The streets of the city were clean gold, like transparent glass. You might understand now why you sell everything for that pearl of great price. Remember the parable that Messiah gave, who said a man finds a great pearl and goes and sells everything he's got to possess that pearl. Well, what's the pearl? Gate you get in with. I can understand now why the pearl would be rather important. Twelve gates are 12 pearls. Each one of the gates is a single pearl, and the Street of the city was clean gold like transparent glass. I saw no dwelling place in it, for Yah El Shaddai is its dwelling place and the Lamb, and the city had no need of the sun nor of the moon to shine in it, for the steam of Elohim lightened it. The Lamb is its lamp. Again, thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto the path. And the word was that Yah became flesh. The nations of those who are saved shall walk in its light. The sovereigns of the earth bring their esteemed into it, and its gates shall not be shut at all by day nor night. Shall not be there. They shall bring the esteem and the appreciation of the nations into it. There shall by no means enter into it whatever is unclean. Neither anyone doing abomination in falsehood, but only those who are written in the Lamb's Book of Life. Now, let's stop right there for a second so we can get messy again. I have been told when you got saved, your name was in the Lamb's Book of Life. I think when you read Revelation, it talks about your name being blotted out of the book. Perhaps it's different, I don't know. But I do know, right before he said, those whose names are written in the Lamb's Book of Life, he said, nothing unclean would get in. Which means nothing unclean is written in the Lamb's Book of Life. The way I read it, you might be careful. If you are doing things the scripture says makes you unclean, because it seems to me you might be in danger of not being in the Lamb's Book of Life. Well, I thought salvation was by Jesus. I believe it is. But I believe he also says, be careful in that end day, many will come saying, look, I'm Jesus, and they won't be. If anyone preaches another gospel besides the one I have preached, they are a antichrist, a false messiah. What gospel did he preach? Think not that I came to do away with the law. What gospel was I preached when I was younger? Jesus came to do away with the law. They can't both be true. I know he was still alive when he said it. He's still alive now because he was risen again. So I'm assuming he's still alive when he says it now. Yeah, and again, the way I read it is he said, if you love me, keep my commandments. If you do not keep my commandments, you are a liar and the truth is not in you. And what was the second thing he said kept you out? Those who are doing an abomination and falsehood. If we're eating unclean, if we're accepting what he said is an abomination, and if we are liars because we're not keeping his commandments, and you still think you are written in the Lamb's Book of Life, you'll have a chance one day to answer.
I don't think any of us in this room have gone completely without breaking the commandments.
Oh, no. And that's what I look at. What's your heart and your intent? Because there was years when I truly believed my heart was right with God and my intent was to follow what Jesus said, and I ate a ham sandwich on Easter to honor him. Now I find that that is abominable. That not only was that not honoring him, it was dishonoring him. So you know what? I no longer eat ham sandwiches, and I don't keep Easter. I found out Easter was wrong before I found out ham was wrong, so I quit doing Easter. Don't matter if it's spiral cut, honey glazed, what you do to it. He says it's not food, it's unclean. No matter how many ways Bubba Gump can fix shrimp, they're not clean. See, those things are simple. And to obey, you know all I have to do? Don't eat it no more. Wow, that's so hard. Or I can proclaim my freedom, and I can eat anything I want to. You can go to hell. Choice. Because either God is God and what he says is true or it's not. And if this part is true and this part is not true, you're on mighty shaky foundation, in my opinion. How do you know which part is true and not true? I don't have a true and not true Bible. I've never found one that had all the verses highlighted that were true and all the ones X'd out that were not true. Matter of fact, I was taught that it was all his word, it was all inspired, and it was all good, and it was all correct, and it was all for teaching. And then they taught me don't pay attention to three quarters. About that. Double-minded man's unstable in all his ways, and then we wonder why our churches look like our churches look. Then I realized that, as Paul says, when I was a child, I spake as a child and thought as a child and did stupid child stuff. When I grew up, I decided, you know what, maybe I need to stop acting like a child. When I was a child, that little bitty plastic hammer, I could whang just about everything, including my thumb and my hand and my head, and it didn't hurt much. When I got a big boy hammer, it was a totally different experience. Can I say in the days ahead, whether you want to or not, the world is forcing big boy hammers on a lot of us. We're getting to a time and a place where if we do not know him, if we have not obeyed him, if we have not prepared, I'm not sure how much hope of survival there is. Can I say we're in the midst of that right now with the things they're injecting in people's bodies? That I don't know that it will change your salvation, but it is already changing people's location. Many of them are being underground now when they were above the ground months ago. All you have to do is look a little at the reports, and they are numerous. Well, I've already had, my mama's already had, my family's, I'm so sad for you. All of my family has too. You know what else all my family got? COVID, even though they'd been double vaccinated and boosted. What good did that do you? Chapter 22, he showed me a river of water of life, clear as crystal, coming from the throne of Elohim and of the Lamb. In the middle of his street and on either side of the river was the tree of life, which bore 12 fruits, and the tree yielding its fruit every month, and the leaves of the trees were for the healing of the nations. No longer shall there be any curse in the throne of Elohim, and the Lamb shall be in it, and his servants shall serve him, and they shall see his face, and his name shall be upon their foreheads. Night shall be no more, and they shall have no need of a lamp or the light of the sun, because Yah Elohim shall give them light, and they shall reign forever and ever. And he said to me, these words are trustworthy and true, and Yah Elohim of the set-apart prophets has sent his messengers to show his servants what has to take place with speed. See, I am coming speedily, blessed is he who guards the word of the prophecy of this book. Now, his speedily was almost 2,000 years ago. A little different speedily than we have now. I don't think we have another 2,000 years. I don't see how we could, but I don't think John thought they had 2,000 years either. But you know, regardless of whether we have 2 days or 2,000 years, do you know what my duty is? The same. Prepare. Obey. Follow his right rulings, his statutes, his mitzvahs. Teach my family, my children, let my yea be yea and my nay be nay, to call an abomination, to distinguish between the clean and the unclean. Let my light so shine before men that they may glorify my Father in heaven. So I don't have to know whether it's 2 days or 2,000 days. I can use his word that says unequal weights and measures are an abomination, and no, this financial system is not going to stand whether it's the end of the world or not. I can look at any nation that calls abominations a celebration and realize this is not going to stand whether it's the end or not. I can be a prudent man who sees danger coming and prepare and go, our society has gotten so that we are calling evil good and good evil. I better get ready for what's coming. And most of all, I can look at his promises and say they are yes and amen, and let's try it his way. Father, thank you that you have given us your word to be a lamp unto our feet, a light unto our path. You have sent your son to show us to be the firstborn among many brethren, to show us the way. You have translated us from the kingdom of darkness to the kingdom of light, that we may truly see, Father, thy kingdom come, thy will be done, that we might Shema, we might hear and obey. Amen. Shema Israel, Adonai Eloheinu, Adonai Echad, Baruch Shem Kavod, Mahuto, Leolam Vayed. Shabbat Shalom.